Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Didn't even talk about this, but Nolan, you talked to us about it off the air, and I neglected to repeat when we got back. But the Players All-Pro list was voted, and Nolan, I don't have the full list. I just have the Ravens. Lamar Jackson, Roquan Smith, and let's see here.
Kyle Hamilton.
As voted by the players. This isn't the media All-Pro, which we expect a couple Ravens will make. But the players have voted Lamar Jackson as the quarterback ahead of Josh Allen.
Right, which to me is kind of telling because, of course, the media votes on MVP. They also have their own All-Pro awards. But the betting favorite for MVP has been Josh Allen. That hasn't changed for well over a month at this point. Even if the debate feels pretty strong on both sides. You know, it feels like a toss-up of, yes, the fans, but the media, it seems to lean Allen. Now you get the players' perspective. They clearly lean Lamar.
And it's always good to be respected and appreciated by your fellow players here as well.
Was it just one team only, Nolan, or was there like a first and second team?
If there is a second team, it has not been announced yet.
I believe Nolan is the place kicker for the second team. Going to kick it out of the park. But Lamar Jackson getting some love. And Roquan Smith, Kyle Hamilton as well. In that regard, the, I guess, official All-Pro team yet to be announced. But speaking of Lamar Jackson, playoff failures, shortcomings, disappointments, I guess, is a more appropriate way to say it, have been well documented. And Lamar was asked yesterday, playoffs, what goes on there, why the shortcomings here?
Yeah, I'd just be too excited. That's all, you know, too antsy. Like, I'm seeing things before it happened, like, oh, I got to calm myself down. But just being more experienced, I've found a way to balance it out.
Yeah, the biggest thing is he just got to be comfortable and confident with the play call and what he sees and going through his reads. And that's what he's got. And to me, I mean, if I'm Todd Monken or if I'm T. Martin, that's what I'm telling him. I said, Lamar, just follow your reads. It'll take you to where you need to go. Don't be guessing, because then when you guess, you know, that's when he's throwing the ball over the place or turning the ball over. But just follow your reads. Just do what you've been coached to do.
2-4 in the playoffs, 1-3 at home, 57.4% completion rate. 6 touchdowns, 6 picks. He's been sacked 26 times, too, in those 6 playoff games, which is kind of crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, and what have we always complained about with Lamar, Bob, is he holds the ball too long. And last year, the other thing that they didn't have was, you know, I mean, what's different from this year's team from last year's team? All right, Andrews is healthy this year. Last year, he was not.
Mm-mm.
Bateman wasn't Bateman. And Zay was Zay. Likely was good. But remember in the playoff game, Bob, they moved Andrews to his regular spot and put Likely as like
the... Well, Likely went off against Houston, but Andrews came back for the championship game
right.
And was laboring.
Yes, yes. And the running game is so much different. So, I mean, he's got different weapons and different people now that I think he's more comfortable and confident in.
And the main dude he's got helping him try to achieve victory is Derrick Henry. And Lamar talks about the benefit of having his all-pro running back, especially when it's going to be cold outside.
I'd rather not be cold, but but you said we got Derrick Henry, so that's a bonus. It's great, man. It's great, man. I don't believe nobody like hitting in the cold. Like, no one's like, not even the defenders like hitting in the cold, I believe, especially with like a 250-pound almost running back.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Minnesota, and hitting in the cold, and because a lot of football games we played, it was freezing. And you'll see, I don't know, you'll see the Ravens players and Steelers play. We always used to tape the ear on the helmet because that keeps your head warmer because the wind's not going through that. So, I mean, that was one of the things that we would do, too. And, Bob, you know what? The other thing that I forgot to mention about last year to this year, how about the O-line?
Yeah.
The O-line sucked last year. I mean, you had Ronnie Stanley, who was awful, and then you had Morgan Moses, who had a torn pec, who was trying to play. Zeitler was okay. Linderbaum was okay. You know, but the O-line wasn't as good and as physical as it was. And who was running back? Just Gus Bus, wasn't it?
And Dalvin Cook was part of the equation.
Yeah. Because Keaton was hurt. And J.K. was out.
And Melvin Gordon fumbled in given an opportunity, and that kind of threw him out of the equation. Derrick Henry, by the way, 156 carries, 732 yards, 4 touchdowns in 7 playoff games, 2 against the Baltimore Ravens. And Derrick Henry, you know, in Tennessee, they kind of hit the skids there a little bit. Now he's back in the postseason, and I guess for Derrick Henry, that's an exciting thing.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, it's a different atmosphere during the postseason, you know, because everybody knows what's at stake. So just excited to be back in the atmosphere. Like I said, on Saturday, it's been a while. So
the thing about the playoffs is it is faster. You may not think it is, but like it's like going from preseason to regular season. It's a notch faster. You go to regular season playoffs, speed picks up. You know, and the intensity picks up like Derek was talking about. You know, and it is, if you're a good team, like when I was in San Fran, you know, there's more pressure on you because you're expected to win every game. When I was in Washington, we were just happy being there, and there's not as much pressure on you.
Now, Eli Manning, to that, it's faster. He says that's not true. The game's faster in the playoffs. He goes, the teams are better.
They are.
You're still playing fast in week 8. You're just playing better teams in the postseason. It's not necessarily the game speeds up where it's like you better. You're just going up against guys and teams that are equal to your skill set.
No,
that's Eli Manning, who has 2 Super Bowl rings.
Mm-hmm.
All right, news from the Nest. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Derrick Henry playing the Steelers 3rd time. These rivalry games, are they cool?
I mean, we're playing, you know, the Steelers, so we know it's always tough. I mean, even during the season, those AFC North matchups, the 4-quarter battle, so that's what we anticipate. You know, we're going to take their opponent lightly, but we know, you know, with AFC North division opponent, a rivalry, we know it's always going to be a 4-quarter battle.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough out of the gate. I think it's going to be a physical, tough game. Yeah, and I could see it being a low-scoring first half. I could. And I just see Pittsburgh having a hard time scoring points, Bob, because I think they're going to be able to get pressure on Russell Wilson. So I think that's coming. And defense, they got some more of their pieces back defensively, and they played really good against the Bengals. But the Bengals are a different style offense, you know, because – they said they pressured Burrow a lot. Hard to pressure Lamar because Burrow can't run where Lamar can.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're going to hear more from Derrick Henry and Lamar and others when we get to NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. But when we come back, let's count that midweek money, a little buy or sell coming your way. Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick talk about the moves the Orioles have made this offseason and the tragic passing of 37-year-old Brian Mattis. Of course, Bordy was calling the games for Masson when Mattis was pitching for the team. Ryan Wilson's going to talk about the playoffs and the draft from CBSSports.com coming up at 1:15. But 12:45, Vinny's film breakdown of that Ravens offense, looking ahead to Pittsburgh on Saturday night.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Playing favorite songs from your favorite female artist or band. Send your request, Nolan McGraw, plus for text sign. You know the number, 410-583-1057. That's how you call us, too. So have some fun. Playoff week, NFL. College football, down to four teams. That resumes tomorrow. Terps host UCLA Friday down at Xfinity Center. Big game for both teams, both on two-game losing skids. 5 weeks away for pitchers and catchers. And all sorts of zaniness in between. We'll get to that as time permits. But right now, let's count the money by yourself.
All right. The Dow is down 92. The S&P's down 14. NASDAQ is down 76. DraftKings up 95 cents. Under Armour's down a quarter.
All right, well, starting college basketball. Still very early in the season, so if you're looking to identify the true national title contenders, might be a bit of a challenge. Either way, writer Isaac Trotter has some tier rankings. Handful of teams here in his mind that could be in the national championship mix, ranging from no-brainers or favorites like Duke and Gonzaga, all the way to dark horse candidates. Maryland actually gets mentioned in the dark horse category for him, but so does another school, which surprised me, St. John's. That's right, Trotter very high on Patino's squad, despite some shooting concerns. Now, he does cite their strong defense, overall physical play style, and I'm sure the coaching factor also pretty big for him. But, Bob, are you buying or selling St. John's as a true dark horse title contender?
I'm selling it right now. Looking for that signature win for sure, or the Red Storm, as they've been called for many years. I mean, you had the pedigree national championship at that with Rick Pitino, but it's pump the brakes. Same with Maryland. Maryland's got more attaboys than they do wins against top 25 teams. Hey, Maryland, man, they could be good. Look at their ceilings. Look at Maryland and who they beat. Blew out Ohio State, good win. Beat Villanova, looking like a good win because Villanova's playing well. They got UConn tonight, by the way. And who else? Syracuse, whatever.
Right.
1980, it's an awesome win. But pump the brakes on both teams right there.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that. Them and Maryland, very similar. Their three losses, not only did they lose to those big teams like Baylor, Georgia, if you want to consider them bigger, tougher matchup, but they were all close. 1 point loss to Baylor, 3 point loss to Georgia, 1 point loss to Creighton. So they got trouble closing, apparently.
Get over the hump, which neither has done so far.
All right. In the NFL, the Jaguars looking for their next head coach after parting with Doug Peterson. Owner Shad Khan, he's spearheading the search and the interview process and was recently asked about the input he will seek from others when making a hire. The question being, does Trevor Lawrence get any input as the franchise quarterback? Khan says he talks with all players, not just Lawrence, but not necessarily about the coaching hire. His direct quote, let's be clear, this isn't a second coming of Aaron Rodgers 2.0. So alluding to the alleged meddling by Aaron Rodgers there with the Jets. Vinny, buy or sell, as the franchise quarterback with a large financial commitment from the team, Lawrence should have input on the next head coach.
I wouldn't think during the interview, you know, if you're talking to 10 guys, no. And my impression of Lawrence is he probably doesn't even want to be involved. I just saw he just had a kid and everything. And if you have like, a Tom, an established guy, more of a veteran guy, I could see you asking him. But when George Seifert left and we hired Mariucci, Carmen did talk to Steve Young.
Didn't they name the stadium after Trevor Lawrence? I would think.
Yeah, financial commitment.
About to get his third different coach, by the way, in his brief career, too.
How about some baseball here? The Yankees, we know they made a massive addition to their pitching staff earlier this offseason by signing Max Fried. That's one less spot available in that five-man rotation. So now the news popping off that they're looking to sell off some of their excess pitching depth. Bob Nightingale reporting that they're trying to trade Marcus Stroman and his $18 million price tag for the 2025 season. It was not a good year for him this past season. An ERA over 4 didn't really factor into their World Series run at all. So with that in mind, it would be easy to move on. But as we know, pitching injuries pile up more and more every single season. Buy or sell, Bob, the Yankees should keep Stroman around as depth.
I'll sell it because he had some dust-ups with his teammates there and was kind of out of the equation, as you mentioned, Nolan, in late September, into October. He's talented, kind of volatile. I mean, he likes sort of that negative attention. Remember when he pitched in Toronto? He was a total a-hole for the Blue Jays. Him and Buck Showalter almost got into a fight down at Camden Yards. But, you know, if they want him gone, I guess they'll look to sacrifice. They already traded away. Who was it? Nasty Nestor Cortez there?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, so if they're jettison, why not keep on jettisoning, and if that's a word.
Could be part of a package for a bigger name. I didn't even think about that, like Nestor was. All right, we'll do one more from the NFL here. So far, the Saints' decision to give Derek Carr that massive contract prior to last year, well, clearly it's not paying off. Took a major step back this year. They were 9-8 in their first year with Carr, 5-12 this past year. And the health of Derek Carr in particular played a huge factor as he appeared in a career-low 10 games. Moving forward, it would seem convenient for them to clear up some of that money, but he says he's not willing to take a pay cut. He could restructure, but as we know, that only pushes money further down the road and could handcuff New Orleans even more in the long run. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Saints will end up biting the bullet and dumping Carr for a full-scale rebuild.
I would buy it. That's what they need. I mean, they've been pushing money out for years. So I'm getting a coach that understands we're going to be in a total rebuild and we're going to give you time. You know, 1 year, and because you go 2-15, we're not going to fire you.
And of course, it is Wise Wednesday here on Vinny and Haney. We've gone a couple weeks without doing this because we've been off for the holidays, but we're back, which means the return of $25 Wise Markets gift card. We're going to give it away right now. I'm looking for caller number 6 at 410-583-1057 for our weekly Wise Markets gift card.
Well, give it away now. Nolan McGraw, when we come back, Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, talk about the offseason so far. Birds of Baltimore trying to get back to the playoffs for the third straight year. Also, talk about the tragic passing of Brian Mattis, who was an outstanding reliever for the Orioles during those 2012-2014 playoff run teams. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens' offense against Cleveland. Slow start. Maybe didn't commit to the run as much as they should have. We'll get into that and more. And then we got NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Bill Belichick's the new head coach at the University of North Carolina, and he's not going anywhere. Or is he?
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Biddy and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Playing the songs, favorite female artist or band that you want to hear. Send a request to the Plaza for text line, 410-583-1057. Got Vinny's film study, film breakdown of the Ravens offense, the win against Cleveland this past Saturday. Looking ahead to the wild card matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But joining us now, talks of baseball, about 5 weeks away from pitchers and catchers. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Welcome back to the show, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight here on The Fan. He's Oriole Hall of Famer. He's just an all-around awesome dude. He's Mike Bordick. Bordy, what's up? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the fun stuff that's happened since we last spoke to you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Happy New Year, Bob and Vinny, and, of course, behind the glass, Mr. Nolan.
Yeah.
So, happy New Year, man. I just want to start this off by saying I got a really heavy heart this morning. I know a lot of Oriole fans probably do, about the loss of Brian Mattis. Really heartbreaking news. Just a wonderful young man. And I just want to say my heart, my thoughts and prayers obviously go out to his family, his former teammates. And, of course, he's known for the Southern California lifestyle, and they're in a world of hurt right now too. So a lot to keep on our minds here, I think, this morning.
Yeah, fourth pick out of San Diego, and Mike, 2008, and you were calling the Oriole games when he had, I guess, reinvented himself as a left-handed relief specialist. Buck Showalter obviously had a lot to do with that. What about that transformation from Mattis being a highly regarded potential top-of-the-rotation ace for them, along with Arrieta and Zach Britton and everyone that was around at that time, to becoming a really effective reliever for a playoff team?
Yeah, his story's, a lot of fun to follow, because I saw him when he first came to spring training, and we were all pretty anxious to see what the first rounder looked like pitching against big league hitters. And he was legit, man. Nice live fastball, great changeup. And unfortunately, it didn't play as well in that starting role. And he, like most, they take their lumps, man, and they try to find their way in the major leagues one way or another. And, to his credit, he was able to stick to it, keep working hard. I know Brady Anderson got with him and really kind of revamped himself physically as well, and made himself a pretty dependable bullpen piece. So it ain't easy pitching in the big league, especially when you're highly touted as the number one pick and still working hard to get the most out of, his career. So, he put the time in and got everything he could out of it.
Yeah, rest in peace, Brian Mattis. And we talk about now, Mike, as we transition to, this year's team potentially, and we talk about pitching, and Charlie Morton signs on Friday. They sign Sagano. They lose Corbin Burns. That's what's expected. So as you look at the expected five-man rotation as it sits on January 8th, is it good enough? And I guess good enough means to win the East and take a deep run in the playoffs, because, I think the offense is going to bounce back, but got to be concerns with the guys throwing said baseball.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if it's enough, to be honest with you. I look around, I see all these other teams making these, big moves. I think the Yankees, obviously pretty aggressive. Red Sox stayed aggressive. Toronto's out there talking about throwing a ton of money out there. And I think initially, as a fan, I sit back and I think, come on now. We've heard the rocket ship's supposed to take off. And I don't know that, the moves to appease fans have been made yet. What I do know is, now looking back on this, is that I love the fact that they got, Charlie Morton and of course, another great veteran pitcher that will teach young guys how to pitch, I think, as this game potentially starts to transition. Guys got to learn how to use their stuff more. and more effectively if indeed velocities maybe start coming back down. I don't really see that, but you still got to learn how to pitch with what you have. And I think those guys will really help that. And it's proven that they know how to eat up some innings. I think Morton has just been incredible, right? The last 4 years, one of the most dependable pitchers. And here he is pitching past 40 years old. So not only will he help eat up innings, but my hope is that the arms that the Orioles have right now in the rotation can get them to a point where they see exactly what they're going to need to finish the rest of the season off to hoist, you know, the pennant. And I think it's smart that they're kind of being patient with this. And I just, hopefully it bodes well for them come the deadline, because yeah, we've always thought that they had enough talent where they can make trades. Are the moves that they've made here going to be enough to bridge the gap between when Bradish and Wells come back? And is there going to be potential to maybe land a couple more pitchers as we notice what we have or don't have, what our needs are going to be at the break?
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on the Window Nation guest hotline. Jackson Holliday was not a glorious beginning to his major league career, as we know. Number one prospect, number one overall pick, still big upside there. Based on what you've seen when you've gone to Sarasota and what you saw in Baltimore last year, where are the flaws? What did he do to maybe tweak them once he came back up from Norfolk? And how does his rocket ship take off in 25, living up to the big hype that Gunnar and Adley have through their careers so far?
Yeah, well, it's the youth, right? That I think it wasn't that I think he was overmatched or anything. I think it was just his youth, the inexperience, and how to handle the biggest stage of baseball. I mean, you're going against guys that are, dang, twice your age. You know, the experience factor definitely comes into play. And I think Major League Baseball kind of fed off that and kind of let him know that he's just a young guy and his time will come, but it wasn't last year. I think this year he'll blossom even more. You're going to see more great things. My hope is, I think offensively it'll happen for him. I think it's all rhythm and timing, and I think he'll be able to calm himself down in the box. My concern is, can he be a everyday second baseman? Because his clock was off last year a lot. I mean, double plays that didn't get turned, balls he didn't come get when he should have. So that kind of stuff, I hope he really paid attention to this offseason. And I know Manzo, third base coach, infield coach, does a great job with really helping these young players understand that importance. And a sense of controlled urgency is ultimately what it comes down to. So you got to play the game fast and under control, and he hasn't quite learned that just yet.
Hey, Bordick,
and I don't even know that Gunnar has quite yet at shortstop. You know?
A lot of ease over there, yeah.
Hey, Bordick, yeah. With the wall coming in a little bit, what effect do you think that's going to have mentally on some of the guys, both pitchers and hitters?
Well, Ryan Mountcastle is the happiest person in the world because they're bringing in that wall. I'll tell you that right now. And he's going to end up making a lot of money because of it. I think it was all psychological the last couple of years with him. I think this is going to help his confidence, and he's going to put up some monster numbers. I think pitchers are going to get scared. I think probably to every pitcher, they love coming to Camden Yards because it made that much of a difference. And I think, you know, when they had that thought of moving the fence back, the intention was, I think, okay, but they over-boogied tremendously, and I think it lost a lot of the appeal visually that it, you know, had for so many years moving it back. So hopefully they can tie in that just that more traditional field and make it a legitimate home run park, you know. But my gosh, it was just way too far back, uncomfortably too far back. And I think this will really help the team and baseball in general.
Mike Bordick, better wall, Pink Floyd, or the one Jack Nicholson was yapping about in A Few Good Men?
Right. You know, oh my God, that's a tough one right there, man. You put me on the spot.
You want me on that wall,
Floyd, though, but you need me on that wall, baby.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Bordy, always great to catch up. Enjoy the football playoffs this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bordy.
We'll do. Thanks a lot, guys.
Here's Mike Bordick, everyone. We'll come back. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense to win against Cleveland. How these trends might bode well against the Steelers coming up Saturday night at 8 o'clock. NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. Feed you more football. Seriously, Bill Belichick Will he ever coach a game for North Carolina? We can get into that. And we'll talk about that with Ryan Wilson, too, from CBSSports.com at 1:15.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Now, who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time to break down the film here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We're going to look back to Saturday's game against the Cleveland Browns. This Ravens offense, which is high-powered. It's got all pros and pro bowlers and studs doing studly things. And let's talk about how well they did, I guess, after a slow start and a big injury against the Browns. Film study.
Yeah, it was a slow start. I mean, they moved the ball, but they just couldn't finish. That was the biggest problem was, I mean, it was like, okay, you know, because the anticipation was they're just going to blow them out right away. So they take the ball, move it down the field, and they get in the red zone and you get the fourth down, go for it, and Lamar runs his run pass option and tries the sky hook to Derrick Henry. So they just looked out of sync a little bit early on. And they were playing a lot of man coverage, Cleveland was. And soon as Lamar saw it, because, I mean, that was the quickest he was taking off running as we've seen all year. Because he'd drop back, he'd see man coverage, he planted that foot, bam, he was gone. And he was getting a lot of yards rushing and stuff, so which was fine, but I don't know that you wanted him running a bunch in, at the end of the season like that. Now, the offensive line, let's look at the left guard because McCary went out. He had been sick, so I guess he was feeling bad. And when Cleveland was in there, Cleveland was awful. I've never liked Cleveland because he can't bend. And, you know, he can't move his feet very well. And I thought Lamar got a ton of pressure on him when Lamar was throwing the ball, when he was in there, two series in the second quarter, Lamar was scrambling all over the place. And Cleveland can't get up into the linebackers and blocking at the second level and sustaining blocks and doing all those things, you know, and pulling and everything. So I did not think that he played well. Now, when Voorhees was in there, I thought Voorhees did some nice stuff. I thought, you know, he's much more athletic, did a decent job in his pass sets and everything. And his pulls and his comboing up to the linebackers. Yeah, for his first time really playing in a long time, thought he did. I think he played 40-some snaps. I thought he did a very nice job in there. And if McCary were to go down during a game, got no problem going in there with Voorhees. So that was good to see. And also good to see Charlie Kolar being back. That was good to see. Did he have like a cast on his wrist? Norm, did you see that when you were at the game? Didn't it look like he had something on his wrist?
I didn't notice that. That eluded me.
Yeah, say it was black, you know, and I thought I saw something on there. But having him back and doing the blocking and stuff, and it adds to the run game. And it'll help the run game on Saturday night also, because the guy that kills them is Andrews. Andrews kills him. Kills him. First play of the game. Garrett comes flying in there, and Andrews like, oh, sorry, you know, or look out. You know, and then there was another one where he missed his block. But Andrews is just not a good blocker, you know, and likely is a good blocker in space. Now, Zay had a drop. I mean, they just looked off, like their hands were cold or something, you know, their hands were freezing. Plus, when that ball gets cold, it gets slick and it gets hard. So you prefer to catch it in your body. And then Zay gets hurt and goes out, and that was kind of a bummer. And then Wallace comes in. And then, to me, what they did was it looked like the quick screens and that type of stuff, they gave it to Likely. And then Likely was doing that because other than their top three Yak guys are, number one is Zay, two is Justice Hill, and three is Likely. So Justice Hill wasn't there, and Zay wasn't there, so they were letting Likely run with the ball. And to me, I love it when he's got the ball in his hands because he's so strong in the lower body. And Lamar was off on, like, the corner routes. You know, I mean, there was a – Norm, how strong was the wind?
Blustering.
Yeah, so, I mean, hard to throw, especially across the field. So Lamar missed those two corner routes to Andrews, you know. But the thing you got to like is they're running good routes. I thought Bateman ran some nice routes because they were trying to play a lot of man coverage. And Andrews ran some good routes. Bateman got his touchdown. And then all of it, you know, and then they just pounded the horse out after they got the lead. You know, Wiggins gets him up. And then it's nice to see Tucker making all his things, too. And then it was like, okay, let's just pound it. And the other pleasant surprise I liked was Keaton Mitchell looked more like Keaton Mitchell. You know, the kickoff return, he looked fast, explosive. And then in the run stuff, he looked fast. So, he looks like he's close to being back to where he was last year. And he's getting more confidence, reading the holes and things better. So, I thought that was a big plus for them also.
And it looks like, in addition to Mitchell getting close to what he was a year ago, Justice Hill will be ready for the Steelers, too.
Yeah.
Because he was sick last week.
Yeah, and he's been out, what, 3 weeks? He's missed a lot of time. And hopefully that he comes back. Because the thing about it is they played Derrick Henry a lot in the past stuff where normally they play Justice Hill. And Derrick Henry, when he catches that ball out of the backfield, he does a nice job running with the ball. So that's not a bad thing. You know, he doesn't have the burst and explosiveness that Justice Hill does. But, damn, those guys don't want to tackle him after he gets going. So that worked out well, you know, and we got a chance to see. Ali needs to – we'll see you next year.
We'll have a film breakdown of the Ravens defense coming up at 1:30, so stay tuned for that. The Ravens D going up against a pretty mediocre, less than mediocre Steelers offense coming up Saturday. Nolan, we have time for a call. Let's squeeze a call in. If we don't get to you, you can have some NFL lunch with us coming up at 1 o'clock. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, thanks for holding. What's up? Come on, Mitch. It's playoff week.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What do you think about, do you think they can, like the Chargers did with the running back?
Elliott?
Elliott, you're right. You think maybe the Baltimore could do that if, especially, number 15, I know Flowers can't make it. USC wide receiver, I know he's kind of on the downside of his career. I'm hoping
Nelson Aguilar.
I'm waiting for the guy to really perk up, and I'm sorry, I've just been all this.
You're delaying game right now, Mitch, in New Jersey. Thank you for the call. I guess he's talking about Nelson Aguilar.
Aguilar will be back, and I think Lamar trusts him. And you can say what you want about Aguilar. Usually makes one big play a game.
Now, I keep wanting to say San Diego, but with the Chargers, Dobbins is the dude. But I guess Gus Edwards is a little banged up. That's why Zeke Elliott's coming.
Yeah, got an ankle, and they brought Zeke in, and Jim Harbaugh said he gave me bruises all the time. Every time, you know, I think he was at Ohio State when Harbs was at Michigan, wasn't he?
I think Harbs came in after he had left the Buckeyes there. It's 88-81-057. The Fan will come back, feed you some more football, NFL lunch, hear more from Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and Nnamdi Madibike. How about Roquan Smith? We haven't heard from them yet today. Get Joe and Woodbury. You want to join us, you can do that too. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, preview the wild card round of the playoffs with him. And Bill Belichick might never coach a game for North Carolina. Nah, he would never do anything like that, I don't think.